וישמע יצרוי כהן ויזן חויסן מוישו איז כל אשר עושו אלוקים ועמוי והויסי אדנוי פתום ומצרוי. And Yisro hears Koyin Midyon Choysi Moishu Eis Kol Asha Otsu Malakim Le Moishu Le Yisro Amo Kyo Yitzi Hashem Es Yisro Mimitroim Because Kyo Yitzi Hashem Yisro Mimitroim Rashi Lan Shad Zugadu La Kulom That he was Moiti Dem Mimitroim. So what is exactly that Yisro heard over here? In order to look at Rashi, you have a different insight to what Yisro heard. By Yishma Yisro Mashmua Shoma Uvo Kriyas Yamsuf Umechemet Amalek. Yisro heard Kriyas Yamsuf Umechemet Amalek. You heard two things. That's what Chorwa Yisro heard, which is very interesting, because the pasuk says, "Es kol asher osa lekim l'moisha u'Yisrael amoy." Rashi continues later on and says, "Es kol asher osa lohem b'yiridus hamona be'erav amolek." More things he heard. Other things he heard about the Yiras Hamon, the Be'er, the Amalek. So a few Rashi Pshat, and he also heard Zugadol Me'al Kulon. He heard also that Hashem took him out of Mitzrayim. Maybe it's the Makos and everything that took transport in Mitzrayim itself. That Hashem took them out. But Rashi adds a very, very interesting thing over here. Vayishma Yisro, Rashi says, the Vayishma Yisro does not mean just that he heard. Rashi says more, Rashi says, Mashmua Shama Uba. As the Mizrahi brings the story, what did he hear that controlled him, that pushed him to come? Meaning, everybody heard, as Chazal said. Everybody heard. Shomu Amu Yudah. But here there was the Torah emphasized that Yisro heard something. Vice always the hearing of Yisro, the Torah's pointing it out, has some more significance. That he heard something. So therefore Rashi understood that if they're pointing out that he heard something, it must be that hearing had an effect or was something, had something special about it. So Rashi says, yeah, that hearing helped him to come. Okay, now we understand Rashi. Very nice. Relax, go back to sleep. We have Pshat Rashi. Well, the mice is still a bit shmer, which I think Mr. Chabar also bought, but the mice, so Rashi is going to continue and the Ksuba is going to continue and tell us different things that he heard. He heard about Be'er Shal Miriam, he heard about the Mon. How does Rashi know? He heard Ki Hoyti Hashem 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 Yisrael to Lala Yisrael. How does Rashi know that it caused him to come Al Kriyas Yavs to become a Molech? Vayishma Yisro, what did Yisro hear? He's called Asher also. He took the matter of Mitzrayim. That's what he heard. What is Rashi now saying? You know what he heard? He heard other things. Rashi comes up with two other things that we didn't talk about in the pasuk. Very interesting, Rashi. So I wanted this year, Baruch Hashem, b'schus of my sin. I said it with Augie at night. Okay, very nice. Baruch Hashem, at least you will listen. Anyway, so I was this early to a new pshat Rabbi Yisai this year in the Vishma Yisroi. And maybe it's a little bit but The way the Chayyur, the Pshat, taught how the belt learned Ki Hoytzi Hashem al Mitzrayim, the key is, Gemara Shana says in Daf Dalet, Ki is Mishtamish, Ah, but the Shoinah, Ki is before the Shoinah. Gimel, I'm sorry, Gimel. Ki is before the Shoinah, and one of them is that. Ki can be that. But Ki can also mean because. As we normally translate, you know, in high school, a key is because. So the pshat, like Rashi, the pshat over here in Kiyotzi, we can also understand that means that. But maybe we will understand a different pshat over here, but in the pasuk of the Gamri, and it reveals a tremendous story over here. But before that, we have to ask a few kashas about that we normally do. Where is every okay, guys? The first kasha is when's the shmuz? No, okay. The first kasha is by Yishma Yisoy Koyhein Midyan Choisein Moshe. What do we need this whole description of Yisoy for? Koyhein Midyan Choisein Moshe. Okay, Choisin Moshe, you want to say maybe the Rashi says because he was the Choisin Moshe and Moshe, everything was done. But what do you have to tell me Kohen Midyan about? He was, this Kohen Midyan business was the Choira, something that he was. It might be known with Kohen Midyan and he got sent out. And Rashi Shmuel learned about that. We talked about that a little bit then. But we mentioned that he was the Kohen Midyan, he was the high priest. Second kasha I have, everybody say, Sheva Shemois. Rashi tells us Yisro had seven names. One of the names was Yisro. Right? So Yisro had seven names. Why was he called Yisro, Boisai? So Chazal tells an unbelievable Zach. You know what he was called Yisro? Lamaisi had a name called Yisro also. They added a parsha in the Torah because of Yisro. Later on, we're going to have a parsha about that. And an unbelievable parsha. What's the parsha going on about that? Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there after Matan Torah and judging Klal Yisro, and they're all lined up. Everybody's waiting. This guy has this problem. His neighbor has a window facing his backyard. And this guy, his oven, this guy came to fix his oven, and the Maita, instead of fixing it, he was really a plumber, and the Maita, he used the toilet brush to fix the oven, Kitta, all these types of interesting shyly. So the Maita, they were coming, standing in line, they were waiting, and Yisro was all perturbed by the whole situation. First of all, Klai was sitting there waiting around. Second of all, Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting yom v'layla and accepting the people, and the Maisa by him it bothers him very much. So Yisro ties to Moshe. It's not going to go on this way. Novel Tivoil, we're going to fall apart. Nations can't. So he suggests a plan. He suggests another plan. We're going to have a lower court system, a higher court system, and slowly, Rabbi Sai, slowly we'll build up. And so this will take off the pressure of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu will continue to exist. The Ma'isa, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Let's say Hashem, Hashem accepts it," and that was the parasha that was added in the Torah. So that was a more new parasha of the Torah. The Ma'isa, at the end of the day, Rabbi Sai, this name of Yisroi. That he was zeichah to add a parasha of the Torah is not only why he was called that name, but the parasha Shavua is called Yisroel Vaisa, and that was the name that stuck with him. Now, even though Rabbi Sad, the Ma'aseh, if you look through his names, and he had names that were tremendously gavaldic. Choyvav was on his name. Shechiv es haTorah. He endeared himself to the Torah. Had a love for Torah. But Yisro was the name because of this parasha that he added was the name that he went by, the name that he was called by, and the name that the Torah gave for a parasha in the Torah. So first we have to understand why after this name was picked to be the name that we call him. He had seven names. Why was it the name that we referred to in Be'ikah? and the name of the Torah temple is the Parsha Shavua for this week's Parsha. What are you doing for Parsha Yitzchak, right? Everybody, they say, you know, which where's Dave setting you up? Parsha Yitzchak. Don't worry, plenty of time. Not Erev Shabbos yet. But anyway, Lemaisa, Parsha Yitzchak is the Parsha Shavua because that name Yitzchak was the Chor, the Ikka name. Why was that name considered? And why was Yitzchak with that name seems to be that's the Parsha Shavua? And the Zohar is such a personal person also, to be Zohar, to have a Parsha named after him. Tremendous Zohar, but it's that. We have to understand Yisroel was talking not only a guy, he was a priest. So we have to understand Yisroel wasn't Stam any guy off the street. He was a priest. That means he was somebody who not only worshipped God, but he was a teacher. And he left it all. He said it very nice. He became a ger, beautiful. But to have a parasha shavua named after Bezah, it's a tremendous zah. So the different before we said, I think a different mahal. Last year, I want to say a new mahal. A few years before, we said Pshat because of the mysterious nefesh, but he gave up. We spoke about mysterious nefesh, Pashat Shmoy. He said also that he was like a ger, and this guy, and that's in a Matan Torah by Klal Yisrael. Also, they became like Gerim. But I want to maybe this year say another mahal. So that needs also to be understood, that whole opinion of the Yin Yisrael Bezah. Third Shiloh of Isai, four that we're holding exactly. Vayishba Yisroi, Mashmua Shamu Ba. What was the Shmua that he heard? So Rashi says, Kriyas Yamsuf, Muhammad Amalek. He heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Muhammad Amalek. So the obvious question is of Isai, Bishlam Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard. So that makes sense. He came. So the wonderful Nisim that took place, the Lam split the 12 parts, that was vegetables, there was pomegranate, store was open in front of them and brought mamas whatever they want. They had guys dice, you know, it was like the smorgasbord. Those guys dicing meat over there. Mamish, they had hors d'oeuvres, franks in jackets, everything on both sides, on the side of the yam waiting for them, picking off the tree, fresh fruit off the tree, mamish. Orange juice, squeezed by Ellie Grossberger on the side over there, both sides. And everything on both sides, anything they wanted was there on both sides. Tremendous miracles. Okay, I understand. Muhammad Amalek, that needs beer. What would they call Muhammad Amalek? That Amalek attacked them. So much so, the Chazal say, very the famous marshal Rashi brings the Parashat Kisaita, the hot bath that gets cooled off. Forget all the nations heard. But when Amalek attacked them, that was a deterrent for people to come. They cooled everybody off. Why would that be a siba for Yisrael to come? Now you could say Pashem Shem Chazal Mazim as the miracles that they were able to be successful over Chazal Mazim, that could be Pshat. But Lamaisa, there's a Dik L'Chorosh Tidl, not like that, because Rashi says by Yitz Kol Asher also, Rashi says over there, B'Yiridus Hamor Be'eruv HaMolek, Mashmo, that the conquer of HaMolek, that was a Yitz Kol Asher also. Here Mashmo Shmo Shama became Mechemes HaMolek, it says the war with HaMolek. And that L'Chorosh Mashmo, that's the war caused Yisrael to come. Why would the war cause them to come? The Chorosh should be a deterrent not to come. Okay. Gevaldik. So let's try to answer this about that with a story that I thought of. I hope it's MS, but if it's not MS, the Yisoid is them, that it to answer all the questions, we'll try to understand the Pasha of that. We have to understand, of course, a big Yisoid in life. It's real chaval that people don't come to Shul, not because I'm saying it, because the Yisoid, the things that we talk about, of course, is so chashiv. So important for a person to realize in life, to understand it, and to hear it, and to live with it. I'm speaking to myself, Ik and the Shmuz, and I try to drill the Yisoidos into me. But the Maisa, the Yisoidos, the Pashas, and what we see, It's amazing, Rabbi Yisrael. It's so real and so MS and so choshu for a person to understand the Yisrael, the Torah is the guidebook of her life, Rabbi Yisrael. And we have to live with it and we have to take out from it. And we have Parsha Shavua, Rabbi Yisrael. It's not there very nice. Pass the tea, pass the coffee, and we go to the Parsha, zoop, 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 and then, okay, what's next week's Parsha? What are you doing, Parsha Mishpatim? Person has to realize every parasha is so much to malamid aisanu. I'm supposed to take out your service from the parasha and live with them. That's what Torah is about. But this week's parasha, we learn about a man called Yisro. And Yisro himself is such a powerful lesson about that. And the lesson, I believe, besides the lesson we spoke about a little bit, we touched on it, that he was zochet this tremendous yasid bishmaya to have a son-in-law called Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rabbi Shal Yisrael, the greatest Jew maybe that ever lived, he was zochet to be the son-in-law of the Yisrael Basar. And then we explained Shad because of the Mesiras Nevesh that he went through. I think there's something much more deeper about Basar, much more MS, and much more, not much more, but another Yisrael we can take out. Yisro, as we know, Rabbi Yisai, was a Kohen Midyan, a priest of Midyan. He was the head of a religion. He was a religious leader. And Yisro gave it all up, Rabbi Yisai. Everything up, being the head, they put him into Chayrim. They banished him from living there. He had problems afterwards because he was so respected. Not only that, Rabbi Yisrael Chazal tells an unbelievable zach about Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael. And this I'll tell you a vort for the Brisker Rav that brings out that we don't have to say the vort, but it's a good vort to have for Yishabas Taylor, Rabbi Yisrael, this week. The pasuk says at the end of the par, at the end of Rishon, and through that we'll see another amazing zach about Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael, which the Gemara tells us in Soita. The pasuk says by Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael, that Yisrael said, Moshe told him, "Vayichad Yisro kol atoyva, vayomi yiborach Hashem atzil eschem yad Mitzrayim yad Paroi." Hashem Yisro told me, "Yad al atu yodati." Now I know, "Gigodol Hashem mikol elokim ki vadova shezodu aleihem." Says the pasuk that Yisro said after Moshe went into the detail with Yisro, and Yisro said, "Now I know that this is the greatest of gods. There's no other god. There's nothing compared to the version. He is the ultimate. There's nothing but Hashem. Ki ba'dov Hashem zodu aleihem, because of the dov Hashem zodu aleihem." Now Chazal tells, I don't know if the Biskop says it on this, but Chazal tells unbelievable that there was no one that gave such a holy dos that Boruch Hashem Asher Hitzel Eschem in Perek Yod Ches Pasuk Yod. No one said such a lashon till Yisro came around and said. Even Klal Yisrael didn't say it. And the reason for that is with the Brisker Rav's Dvar, because the Brisker Rav teaches Apida, the don't call his kites, Chadovi, Abizovash, Zodu Aleyan, Zoktim, Zoktim, Arikviskoma, the Hashiva, Mitzray, Lamida, and Yisrael, Bodinino. Yisro came to an unbelievable realization of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that no one else came to. You know why? Because the Gemara says in Soita, you know, Alice, hold on, it's Chak Maloi. When Paro sat down, he saw that he Klal Yisrael multiplied. They were amassed to an unbelievable amount of people. Yes, Paro said, I have to come over to Eitza. How to get rid of these people? How to do something to these people? I'm worried they're going to take. So he sat there, and Chazal say he sat there with three advisors. Who were his three advisors? Chazal say Bilam, Eoiv, and Yisro. Yisro was one of the advisors of Paro. By that, you have to realize his prestige. How choshev he was. Besides being Kohen Midyan, he happened to be from the advisors of Paro. For the greatest, and that time Paro was from the greatest leaders of the world. And he went and he discussed plans of how to get rid of Klal Yisrael, how to oppress Klal Yisrael. Zokta Briskarov, ki badova shezodu aleihem. Zokta Briskarov, there's a thing called Adim Zomimim, Rabbi. You know what that is? Yechayev for what you wanted to do. A guy is punished sometimes for what he wanted to do. Yisro was from the three advisors. He was the one in the meeting. He knew what not only what Paro did, but but what power planned to do also. And then when he heard from Moshe Rabbeinu all the different punishments that they got, Yitzhak was able to pair that up and say, wow, I know why they got that. No one else was able to know that. You know why? Because they didn't know all the plans. Because both punished them in stream and power, not only for what they did, what they thought to do. Who would know about the plans? Only those who were in the eighth of Pharaoh, Dr. Biskarov. The Melaz, Dr. Biskarov. And therefore, Yitzhak was, now I'm hearing this guy, Yitzhak would come to Amor the Gatsoga that he, Akash Bo, is the greatest, because he's not only able to do to give payback for what they did, but he knows what's going on in the Machshav of a person. He knows what's going on in our thoughts. He knows what's going on in Paro's thoughts and what they spoke behind the scenes. He didn't carry it out of you, Paro. Hashem punished with that. He came to the greatest Akara. But Chazal tells amazing Zah, when Yisrael heard about all the plans, they came to the vault, and Yisrael said, excuse me, he did one of those shear things, some guy's doing the shear thing. Excuse me, he raised his hand, yes, I need to go to the bathroom. You know those old going to the bathroom in the middle of the thing, about that. Next time you see him, Rebbe, sorry, next thing I knew, I went down to sit on my bed for 10 minutes, next thing I knew, it was Tuesday afternoon. I know, but you went to sleep Friday. I was a little bit tired. Just laid down. Next thing I knew, but the next thing you knew, Yisrael was gone. He never came back. He was barach. He ran away from there. Why did he run away from there? He wasn't masked to what was going on. Why wasn't he masked? What was bothering Yisrael? Obviously, he was from the. This goes into the story that we want to say, Rabbi. That Yisrael came to the realization of the Ribono Shel Olam through the most impressive way, that he left everything, he gave up everything, he gave up his prestige, he gave up his honor, he gave up his being an advisor to the most powerful king in the world, he gave up his position as being the Kohen Midyan. Why? For one reason. Yisrael was a person that truly, 100%, was looking for the truth. He wasn't only looking for the truth, he wanted to act upon the truth. He was a person who was 100% sincere. And because of that sincerity, and because of that bikush ha'emes, and because he wanted to do what he felt was 100% true, to the idol itself be true, he left it all. He gave it up. He decided to change his life. And he tried to act upon it. Because in his mind, he came to the realization that this is 100% the right thing. And what Paris decided to do with Klal Yisrael is 100% the wrong thing. He was Barak. And then Chazal tells us he went around to look through every religion that was possible. He tried Buddhism, Zenism, Tibetism, whatever possible thing there was in the world, all the mysticisms, all the religions, everything, and he went to look through everything trying to find where is the 100% truth. And nothing but the truth. And this midah, this characteristic trait of Yisrael Boisah, this characteristic trait that he is 100% sincere, 100% ready to act upon his sincerity. Many people in the world of Boisah really want to live a true life, but they're afraid to act on what they believe. They're not 100% sincere. They believe it's true in their minds. They might think it's true, but they have peer pressure and world pressure, and therefore they don't carry out what they truly believe. And this was Yisro's reigning midah, Rabbi Yisai. That he was ready to go to the full extent, to all the way, to the end for the truth and for keeping the truth. And that's why even when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu judging Klal Yisrael, sitting there at the thing, giving the Dinei Torah, he still went over. He saw this is not the MS. Because Bo must want something else over here. Because at the end of the day, you're going to falter. You're going to crumble, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not going to be able to handle it. Because Bo, he answered, and Chanami, he still wasn't embarrassed. He would just turn, come on, you know, as this Baal Tshuva comes in. And said, Rashiva, he says, I think we should do things different over here in Yeshiva. You know, take off your jeans, man. Then come to talk to me. No, but if it's true what he's saying, if it's MS, you're so walked into the religion. There he is. He's giving advice. I don't think you should do it that much, Rabbeinu. I don't need to judge Klal that way. I think you should be Ian in the morning. You know, first learn what Bikias and Ian is. First learn Aleph Beis. He's already giving answers. But what was the point? Where did it come from, Rabbeinu? It came from his truism. It came from his realization that it's true. It came from the realization that this can't be. And he wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't embarrassed to say what he felt. He wasn't embarrassed to talk out and speak out what he felt is wrong. Because when you believe something is true 100%, you have to act upon it. You can't sit by and say, oh, what everybody else is doing it anyway. Everybody else's lives are ruined. I just stay that way. Live a life of existence. Make it through life like everybody else. Everybody else is doing it. But you know it's wrong. So what? But everybody else is doing it. Yeah. But it's stussin. It's false. It's crazy. But you can't stay. You can't do it. Why? Even though you believe it's true, but you worry what everybody else says. You know that's what will call you. Oh, that guy, he got turned on to yeshiva. Fanatic. Take it easy. You gotta live in reality. You gotta live the real world. What is that? You gotta make money. That's the real world. You can't live a life of learning Torah. You believe it's true, very nice. But you gotta live a real life, a real existence. You gotta make money. What do you do with your money? I don't know. Store it. Some safe. For your old age. You got to make a living. When are you going to live? I don't know. Maybe at 90, I'll retire with all that money. Play golf. But what's going to be? Everything else does. That has to be the reality. The whole world does it. Everybody's running after it. But at the end of the day, the Torah doesn't preach that. The Torah preaches Kihem Chayeva. The Torah preaches being close to Hashem. That's the real existence. And everything else is fake. Everything else is just surrounded. It's just a way of existing. But real living? Real living? Learning Torah. Doing mitzvah. That's real living. But we're afraid of it. And we're afraid to make the step. We're afraid sometimes to change. We're afraid to make that big step because what people are going to say? How are people going to look at us? What happened to you, Shmuel? What happened to you? You got frimmed out on me? Come on, let's go. You know the old times we used to hang out? You're going to stop that? What happened to you? You got crazy? You're a fanatic? What happened to you? And the names like that. But the problem is, Rabbi Sai, you realize the truth. You know it's MS. You know what these guys saying is shtusim. You know he even believes it's true. He doesn't believe it's real. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Sai, the question is, are you going to be the Yisroi? Are you going to run away from it? Are you going to be the Yisroi? Are you going to stand up to the MS? Or are you going to crumble? Or are you going to fall into it? Fall into the same trap. You're going to just be too pressured by the peers who don't really care about you. They just have too much guilt and they don't want to do it themselves. And you're going to crumble amongst them. What's going to be? Are you going to be the Yisrael? That's, I believe, where Yisrael was. to have a parasha named after him. This was the parasha of Torah, where it came to all sorts of fruition. We see that characteristic came to its lemaisa in the Torah, spoken by Vatosef, when he went out and even gave rebuke Moshe Rabbeinu, because he believed the truth. This is the Messiah, this is the Yesoi of Yisro Abayisah. And that's the Yesoi of Matan Torah Abayisah. Because the Kodesh Baruch went around to all the Ummah, and he offered them the Torah. And they weren't ready to give up their hobbies, their shtusim. They weren't ready to give it up for the truth, the 100% truth. The Torah is the truth book of the world. 100% emes, Moshe emes, Moshe Rosai emes. But it's not only enough to believe it. You have to be a Yisroi. You have to go out and live it and not care what people are going to say and be ready to lose your job, be ready to lose whatever you have in this world for it, because you believe it's 100% true. I had a Rebbe, Nebuchadnezzar Nifta, I don't know, in Torah, he used to come speak for the oil a little bit. He was a high school Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Whale. Lamaisa, it was more of a day school, so Lamaisa he was a very stark, he used to say shmoozing over there, he used to be very stark. And he wasn't afraid to say what was on his mind. And a lot of people changed, and a lot of people got chizuk from him, even though Lamaisa wasn't ready to hear, but he spoke the truth. And he wasn't embarrassed. He was in a school with boys and girls, they're all souls on part of the school. He wasn't embarrassed to say what he felt, what it meant, what it was true, what was emes. And I heard a story about him. The fact that he became a Rebbe was a tremendous ma'isa. When he first graduated high school, he learned in yeshiva, but then at the end of the day, he went off to make a parnasa, and he got a job as an accountant in downtown Manhattan. And the ma'isa, the first day at work, was he's working downtown Manhattan, a prestigious firm. And the boss, the head of the firm, comes over to him. He was a new work on the business. So he was doing, he wasn't doing the major work. So the boss asked him to go buy a pastrami sandwich from the local delicatessen. Right, Bob? The kids, he said, which delicatessen? Bob's Deli, down the block, right underneath the building over here. This Bob's Deli. Bob's Deli, not kosher. Mr. Whale, if you don't want to be thrown out of here, sent into the ocean with all the other whales, you would please go down to the delicatessen down the block and get me a dish sandwich. So this way, so he said back to him, but I won't eat there, I can't go there. I said, I'm not telling you to eat there, I would tell you to go buy me a sandwich over there right away. He said, any store that I wouldn't eat from, I'm not going to buy another Jew a sandwich. He wasn't a religious Jew. I'm not going to buy him a sandwich from that store. He says, well, you're not working in here no more. Maybe you get a job in the local delicatessen, but you're not working here anymore. And the first day on the job, he was fired, and then he became a Rebbe of himself. Well, Hashem said the guy was fired, he became a good Rebbe. But with Kitta Sovishal Dov, the child was, he was ready to stand up. How many people are not ready to stand up for what they believe in? And he goes, what do you mean? But I was just not so bad. He doesn't keep kosher anyway. And, I need to move along. I have a family. I got support. Is it true? Is it the right thing? Do you believe it's MS? You believe it's wrong? You ready to lose your job for it? This is going to come along all your life, Rabbi Yisrael. Not only in Torah. People are going to test you, your boss, and your family, and different scenarios in life where you're going to be tested. You believe it's true? Stand up and say something. You see two people talking in shul, and you realize it's wrong to talk in shul. Either that, or you're going to go over and join the conversation. But you believe it's wrong to talk in shul, so you go over and you say something about it. You don't sit there, I can't say anything to that guy. He's the president of TJ Maxx. I can't say something to him. He's talking in the middle of Kedusha. why can't you say something? What Mr. Wood says, Goyim, but if you know how to give Tzicha, I'm not saying. But if you believe it's MS, you walk out. If you believe it's true, you get up and you walk out of the room if people are talking to derogatory things. Or you lose your job, you won't be looked on in a favorable way. Do you believe it's true or not? Are you a Yisroi? Are you somebody who's a Yid, who's represents truth, represents Hashem in this world? You're at a place where things are going on that's not proper, you get up and you leave. Oh, but it's my cousin, isn't it? Okay, you have to know sometimes. But if you believe it's true, you say something about it. If something is wrong, being done wrong, you get up and you say something. You have to know how to say it 100%. But the point is realizing the truth and acting upon it. And this is also one of the biggest deterrents of us. For Bochum Steigert, you know, we mentioned a little before, but so many Bochum, they get to a certain level. They get to a certain Steigert. And they're afraid to take the next step. They're afraid. What are they going to say back home? What's he going to say? What's she going to say? What's that person going to say? They're afraid. And the Maisa, it's a terrible mistake. Because in your mind, you know what's MS. You know to learn to tell you the MS. What if you're going to tell them, well, how are you going to make a living? How are you going to support yourself? All these developing containers that be in the world has. And we have answers for that. But you believe it's true? You go for it. You go for it. That was Yisro's godless, the whole passion of the Torah. He left it all. Parnassa, everything. He was the Kohen Midian. That's it. I'm giving it up. What's the meaning of Parnassa? I'm giving it up. Moving right along. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives Parnassa Rabbeisa. We just learned with Matis, we learned the end of the first parak, the fourth parak of Kedushin. Mamish, the last Amen of Kedushin Rabbeisa. This is the Torah HaKdoisha. The Torah HaKdoisha tells us what's going to be with your Parnassa. Reb Shimon ben Azraime. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Azraime, Niyomailo Reisi Tzvi Kayetz. I never saw a deer that goes to dry figs in the field. Vari Sabo, you ever saw a lion as a porter? Never saw at the airport any lions there. The Shul Chadvani, you ever walked into your local supermarket and saw a fox there? You might have walked into Fox and saw a man there, but you didn't walk into a van and see a fox there. The Hey Mitzvah Shalom Bitzar. You only see any, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of fat cats out there. Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of, you can just walk around our campus, plenty of cats. Baruch Hashem, they have what to eat. Because Baruch gives the animals what to eat. They don't have to run without Bitzar. They're not running out, they're not going to some super, you don't walk to the supermarket, you see some bear there. How much was that? You walk into a store, you see a dog behind the counter showing you what to do. No, we don't walk into any store to see any dogs. They're not making any. It says that they were only created to service man, animal life, the vegetable world, the plant life. Everything in this world was made before the Adam in order to service man. I was created to serve my God, my Creator. So why some people have tzar? Because of chait. There won't be chait, so we won't have any tzar. But at the end of the day, a person is not going to lose out. You look at the stipend person, Kate. Stipend writes it very clearly that a person who gives his life to Torah is not going to, cannot, it's not possible. He's going to lose out one iota in the only parnasa that he was supposed to make if he stays in learning or he dedicates his life to Torah. And I'm not saying that's what you should do, but I'm saying the thought that you believe and you want it. Don't care what other people say. You have to know what's right for you. And if you can continue and create a career and go into chinuch and go into the Ma'abit Torah, you have to go what you believe is true, what you believe is MS, what you want in life, what you want, and you feel it's the truth, go for it. As it says in Parashas B'Shalach, Tach, it says, Achaz, Hashem told Aaron and Moshe, take a container of the mon, the Hanach to the Doirois, to show them the doors. How did we survive in the Midbar? There was no stores. There was no way to make Parnassus. We were in a desert for 40 years. How did thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people survive? How did they survive? Why did they get Parnassus? You know how? Hashem sent man. So I didn't see it. That in any generation, that's why Hashem said, put it out for the older generation, that to know that in every generation, if we accept the word of the oil Torah, Hashem will take care of us. Not so. Might not be death and age like the man, but you're going to have what you need in the second room. If a person believes it's true, go for it. Don't be pesters. Don't listen to the people out there. Most of the times, because they're jealous. Most of the times, they realize you found the truth. Go for it. Don't sell out like most people do. They have dreams that they think they can do it. They want to learn. They want to strive, but they sell out at the end because some stupid comment that someone makes. Oh, you're gonna be frowned on us again. It's only a stage in your life. Come on, we know the real you. Come on, I see a yarmulke got a little bit bigger. You wear a black hat now every day. Come on, stop being a faker. Probably jealous because he couldn't do it. You believe it's true. You've tasted it. It's sweet. It's geschmack. You're enjoying your life. Continue. Go for it. Boy, say, be a Yisroi. Yisroi was sincere to the end, to the core. He ran away from Paroi. He gave Moshe Musa. He ran away from his job. He gave up everything for the truth. And in terms of your life, it's going to come scenarios in your life where you're going to have to make the decision. You want the truth, or you want to be like everybody else? You want to sell out like everybody else? You want the truth, or you want to be a faker? You want the truth? You want to do what's really right? Even if it means that people want to call you names. They'll call you fanatic. They'll call you crazy. If I call you, who knows what happened to you? But at the end of the day, everybody said, one day, they're going to respect you. They'll respect you, I guarantee it. Because I'll tell us, I'm Oivav, Yashlam Itar. You go on the way, but the Oivav, I'm Mashlam with you. I remember when the first time I came back into the Bay, and then I came back to America, I put on my, so I was 18, I put on the first time I had, and my jacket, and all my friends that grew up in modern, but they looked at me and said, you know, like, I was off the wall, mamish, like, off the wall. What happened to these guys? Brainwashed. Mamish, totally brainwashed. They had, like, a pendulum somewhere, some basin somewhere, and they were swinging it by him. They said, what are you on, man? I said, not the stuff that you guys are on. No, I just want my friends to do that. But anyway, he said, what happened to you? Like, what happened to you? You know? It's crazy. A hat and a jacket. It wasn't the world that we lived in. Modern Orthodox, this, that. And a namaka with your name on it. You wore yarmulkes as well, and you were from. Nice modern Orthodox. Went to shul every Shabbat. And a black hat and a jacket. You're going to learn now? What about college? What about college? What's going to be with college? You have to go to everything. Every nice Jewish boy has to go to college. To be a lawyer, doctor, accountant. Jewish boy, you know, you go, you look in the paper, you open it up, then you see Touro College, graduating, 09, Harvard, this, that. I don't think we never open up and see, here he is, this greaseball payer. Paris High in 2007. Where is he today? In the Colo. he has a fat stomach. So what? He's sitting and learning Torah. We don't see any of those guys. 2007, dental school. Samuel Weinstein, dental school, 2007. We're all the learning guys. They put out a new thing. This guy's learning. Yeah, this guy, what? He felt that if he wants to become a tremendous Talmud Chacham, anything wrong with that? Like I told you, I said over, when a guy came to my father in the shul afterwards, and he said over, what's going to be with bread and butter? My father said, I like margarine. No, he said, what's going to be with bread and butter? What's going to be with your son? My father opened his didn't show him, as you believe, it says, Kihain Chayin Americh Yameinu. Kihain Chayin, different Shupirushim. You believe what you say about us? Then we're just saying it. Just mumbling the words. And that's the assault of us. We can't be afraid. If you believe it's true, go for it. Be the assault of us. Live your dreams. Don't sell out. Don't give up. What you could be because of some friend or something. I'm not saying everybody has their tachas. Some people, taka, need to go. But everybody has to be a Talmud Chacham. You need to go out to work. There's also an opportunity. How long are you going to learn? Oh, I want to do that business. Make more money. What are you going to, even if you go out, you could be a Talmud Chacham. But those who want to stay learning more years, what's going to be? They have parental pressure. To tell your parents. I'm not saying... Each scenario has to be discussed. That is, I want to continue learning. What's going to be with Parnassa? The Mishnah Kedushin says, the Torah says, we're not going to lose out of this. What's going to be with my life? Shem will take care of me. I'm learning his Torah. You think we're going to lose out? Is he going to mess up on his Shidduch? Yeah, but who's going to want a learning boy like that? You think you'll lose out because you're learning Torah? Anything you'll lose, but it's that you're doing the greatest possible thing that Hashem wants to do in this world. Hashem loves the person who loves Torah, as we said, how much simcha it causes Hashem. Oy, v'sameach, v'samoko, we learned the Mishnah in Avos, that when you learn Torah, Hashem is giddy. That's what Ben Yerachim Chaim Volozhin said, Hashem is giddy. Hashem is happy, he's smiling. Kaviyacho. We don't talk about Hashem. Hashem is mamish in ecstatic. He's in a different world when we learn Torah. You think you'll lose out? The whole world has enough from it. The whole world is a different world. Hashem sent unbelievable hashpot to the world because he has so much simple when people are learning Torah. You think you're going to lose out one iota? Chas v'shalom with us. Live our beliefs. That's what Yisro taught us. And that's what Torah, that's what Yisro was the parasha of Kabbalah's Torah, because that's what Torah is. It's not a subject matter. That's the difference of place. If you're learning Torah, you're really asking you, what's the difference between them? We're also learning. We're also in college. What's the difference of place? We go to school and you go to school. Ono amelim, eim amelim. What's the difference between us and the ones who go to college? You know what the answer is? I saw this from I heard this from Steinberg. I saw that also from the Levi Eliyahu. A person who's learning Torah by side, and the achievement that we want to come is a Ben Torah by side. A person learning Yeshiva is called a Ben Torah. You know that family is like, are you a Ben Torah? Is somebody in college called the Ben Harvard? You ever heard that? He's a Ben University. No. Why not? Torah is a by side. A person learning Torah is a Ben to the Torah because a Ben is a son. What's a son, by side? A son takes on the characteristics. Torah is not a subject matter, uni or college. That's subject matter. Torah is a lifestyle. Torah is not a subject matter. You're a Ben Torah. That means the Torah designs and shapes your life, how you act, how you live. University, college, subject matters, knowledge, not lifestyle. Baharai, look at the lifestyle that these Ben Yeshiva, Ben, these college people live with. that's what college is, you know, it surely shapes their lifestyle for sure. Like go and see what's going on in the college. But Torah shapes our lifestyle. Torah is our lifeblood. Torah gives us direction in life. Be a Yisrael. Live a life sincere. Live your beliefs. Don't cop out. Follow what you believe is true. And Be'ez Hashem Yisrael, you have to realize Yisrael never lost that. After everything when it's said and done, they're probably making fun of him when he ran away from Paro, your advisor. They were making fun of him when he ran away from his job. He declared priest to go away. He went into the Midbar. They banished him. They put him in Cherem. He was living all. What became of Rabbi Sai? The father-in-law of the greatest Jew. The father-in-law of his daughter Mary. Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbi Sai. Yisro's children was there to sit on the Sanhedrin of Yisrael, Chazal tell us. And Pasuk says in the Bolach, the end of Bolach, when Bilam says, Rashi brings down the Pasuk over there, and this will end with Yisrael. Bilam says, in the Lashon of the Pasuk, Bilam says, what happened to you? Bilam looks down on Yisro, and he says, look what became of you. Look what became of me, and look what became of you. He had such respect for Yisro. He said, we were together once. We were both advised. Look at you now. You're sitting with the greatest of nations. You're part of them. You're unbelievable. When I saw that, Rashi reminded me of the story. Or the story of the Medrash of Shlomo used to say, Ovid Koheles. Of the two guys sitting on the yeshiva, the Medrash brings two people that were sitting on the same bench in yeshiva. One stayed on and learned, and one was Purish. Many years later, they meet up again, and they're sitting at the same table. And there it is, the Rasha, he left the yeshiva, he's sitting there around his cohort, the people that he let them live his lifestyle. And he sees this guy living around the other. And there he is, he said, he's scratching his machazal, he's scratching his skin. He said, look at that guy, we sat on the same bench. We were the same machine, look what became of him. Look what became of me, who am I with? Who are my friends? These lowlifes. Look at that guy, look what became of him. Because he lived his dream. He lived his, he continued and lived and was sincere, lived his reality. He lived reality. This guy gave it up. Ending of myself with one story which we said over a few times, maybe we said it over once before, I don't know about this year, but a similar story that happened was that in one of the books touched by a story about which book it was. I think it was number volume 4, page 67, 6 lines in the bottom, whatever it was. He has a story over there of a guy was in yeshiva, and a guy. It was a bacher that was having a little bit difficult time, and he was learning with the chavrusa. And he came in one day, and they were learning, and the maaser, they were learning from mitzia. And this guy was having a little bit difficult. He was trying, he didn't know what's going on. Yeshiva didn't really get into it, and he was always questioning what he's doing, and obviously he was being pulled by the world out there. And he came to learn, and they started the Gemara. And the chavrusa says, okay, let's learn today. We're going to try to learn shark. Let's say the mitzvah is not like bananas. So the guy, this bacher, wasn't into it. He had obviously things that he had other things going on in his life. Pulled out of the woods. What did you say? What was that? Bananas? What was that? Look at that. Are you serious? He closed the Gemara. No, so he says to the chavrusa, what's the difference? What's a nafkamina? If it's like bananas, not bananas. And with that, he closed the Gemara, he walked out. He walked out, he thought he also was doing, yesterday he was doing one, you know, regular bathroom job. He never came back to the chavrusa job. He never showed up in yeshiva again. This bacher was looking for him, trying to track him down. He lost that track of him. Bacher stayed in yeshiva, became a big yeshiva. Went on to Steig and Kalashiva. And the Maisa, the other guy, He never saw him again. The kids saw that 30 years later, this was Shiva sitting at a dinner. They made a dinner for the yeshiva that he was working for. He was a big yeshiva already, had hundreds of maybe it was 50 years later, I forgot. 50 years later. And the mice said they were honoring him, they honored this, they made a big dinner for the yeshiva, and they were honoring this Rosh Yeshiva, this year who developed into a Rosh Yeshiva. And he was sitting before the meal, and he's sitting by the table, and all his old Tamino coming over, hundreds and hundreds of Tamino are coming over, and they're discussing different life things, some of them he's been in touch with and keeping in touch with, and he's talking about their families with him. You see the pride and joy of such a successful life. All of a sudden, he's sitting by the table, you know, after he got up and gave the whole speech and everything, he's sitting there, so he did it. And the waiter comes around and says, chicken or beef? And the maestro, he's talking to a different town, and he sees at the corner of the eyes, he looks at the waiter, he says, yeah, I'll take the chicken. And the maestro, he notices the waiter for a second. And the maestro, he looks again, and it has to be the old chalitza, Yossi. There he is, chicken or beef. So he goes over to him and says, Yossi, is that you? He says, yeah. Rebbe, I know now. Now I know what's the Nafka community. The mission is not to banana. Now I understand. I'm serving bananas. And you're sitting here with hundreds of Talmidim. Ramai said, at the end of the day, though, like the end of the day is 50 years from now, whatever that decision, that machshava, that sincerity, if it's carried out, lemaisa, we're not saying everybody's becoming the Rosh Yeshivas and the Rambam and the Rabbi Zah, but to live the dream to become the best possible yid you could become, Rabbi Zah, even if you have to go out in the world. I'm not saying if you continue in chinuch, you become a ma'abit Torah, which is wonderful, and so much no one should underestimate that they have those koichas. You could be, you have those codes. You have to know, you have to have a Rebbe. But if you have to go out of that, to be the Talmud Chacham, to have those dreams that you dream to finish Shas, to know Shas, to be a Poisek, to know Halacha, those dreams that you have in Yeshiva, to live them out of the Maizah, boys, and 50 years come down the lawn that you're a Talmud Chacham, a Hatsum, you're a Ma'abit Torah. You look back, and all those friends were laughing. Where are they, boys? An old age home over here. You know, watching the Merv Griffin show. Like one guy once said, Rabbi, I don't know about learning, but I want to go out of this world with the Merv Griffin show. You know, this guy wants to go out with friends. This guy wants to go out with enemies. This guy wants to, you know, spend his last years watching 2,175 episodes. Police Force. 2,100 want to leave this world watching that last scene of blowing himself up. Exciting end to the end of his life. This person, Baruch Hashem, accomplished. He did finish Shas. He learned. He taught. He was a Hashem member's community. He was a Rav. He was a Rebbe. He was a Shiva. What a way to leave the world after 120 of us. Feeling accomplished, feeling that you fulfilled your dreams, you lived the things that you believed, and you accomplished, and you felt good about yourself, and it gave such a hanor and nachas to all around you, even those enemies, they respected you. Be'ez Hashem Yisborach, the most important thing, you gave the greatest nachas, nuach, to the Baruch Hu.